Hello and welcome to Coco Conversations. I'm your host Hadassah Head, and today I'm speaking with Pam Mission.
Hi.
So we're going to talk about complex systems research. And Pam, if you could start by telling us a little bit about how you got interested in complex systems and what it means to you.
Okay. Well, I literally stumbled onto complex systems in the fall of 2006, I believe. I was browsing the library, just walking through the stacks. So for students who don't normally do this, I would encourage them to get back into the practice of actually walking through the physical stacks of books. And I came across a book. The title just grabbed me. It was called Critical Mass by Philip Ball. And I pulled it off the shelf because it just something about the title interested me. And I started flipping through the table of contents. And it just resonated with me in public administration and thinking about public problems. And I read the book. I just read it cover to cover. And it, like so many complexity books, although this I wouldn't really call it a traditional complexity book, it takes you through you know, statistical approaches to problems and why they fail to allow us to understand complex problems through to complexity and some issues of emergence. And I really thought, you know, this is it. This is what's missing in public administration. This is what's missing from the way we understand these complex systems in the public sphere. We use the word complex and complexity all the time, but not to relate to complexity theory, and that there was a set of theories out there that actually helped explain the complexity that was empirically, you know, relevant to public administration. I thought was really, you know, just really drew me in.
It dawned on me that maybe we should also include a few sentences about what public administration is, because I didn't know about that field in general until I was in college here at Binghamton. So maybe a few sentences on that, because it's how you got into complex systems.
So public administration is the administration of the public sphere. So think government and nonprofit type of nonprofit agencies. The reason a lot of people don't know about it until they hit graduate school is that there really aren't a lot of undergraduate programs, even in public administration. Public administration is typically taught at the master's level. Students get an MPA degree, Master of Public Administration. And so that's the program that we have here at Binghamton University.
Okay. So how is complex systems theory different or similar to those general notions that you were talking about of just how people use complexity and complex in academia and just colloquially?
Right. Well, so we talk about complexity at many different levels in the public sector. So some of us study organizations, and they talk about the level of complexity within an organization. Just using the word organization is kind of interesting because, well, what organized it? How did it organize? Did it organize from the bottom up? Was it organized from the top down? So we have competing bottom up, top down theories of organization and theories that operate within organizations. And so we can think about the relevance of complexity theory to understanding how organizations arise, or how networks of people within organizations arise. We can also, my particular area of interest right now is on how organizations form networks to solve public problems. Because most public problems, think of the big ones, you know, poverty, low graduation rates.
Those are big ones.
You know, the big ones, you know, all the big public sector problems that we, you know, been battling forever. There's no one organization that is tasked with solving that problem, yet we all perceive them to be public problems. And so since these problems cross organizational boundaries, organizations have really, for many decades now, been working together in these interorganizational networks to try to implement public policy. And so the question then becomes, you know, well, how do these networks arise? Sometimes they are emergent networks. People realize that there is a problem and form a network. Sometimes they're designed networks where a larger government entity or a large funder will say, you need to collaborate and work together and form a network. Or is there a better way? Is the top-down version better than the bottom-up version?
If so, for what problems?
And for what problems or in what ways? You know, a lot of these things are, these are really important questions. How should we form these networks within public administration? And so these are public sector, public and nonprofit, public-private partnerships. And so we have this, so we have complex networks that are trying to, with people who you can view them as the agents, maybe you can view the organizations themselves as the agents, trying to solve this complex problem. Mm-hmm. Like poverty or teen pregnancy or whatever. And so, you know, you've got, you know, complexity theory both informs our understanding of the networks that are trying to solve the complex problem as well as the complex problem itself. So that it's, I think it's kind of cool.
Interesting. So you got interested by reading a book in the library, and how has that, what were the next steps after that? Because now, I mean, from my understanding, you even teach a networks course.
Right. Well, so then came a few dozen other books. And, you know, coming from a social science perspective, I really read, first of all, I just kind of read everything that was out there that was more popular science-y, you know, that would allow me to understand this from...
And the ideas,
the concepts. The ideas, the concepts, rather than from, you know, necessarily, you know, immediately a modeling or a physics or an engineering or computer science perspective, because those aren't my background. And so once I thought I had a good grasp on the concepts themselves, I decided, you know, I really wanted to try to tackle some modeling. And try to simulate an interorganizational network. And so in order to learn this skill, I actually sat in on one of Hiroki's classes. That mm-hmm. would have probably been at least 2 years ago now, in the spring, 2.5 years ago probably. And I learned Python mm-hmm. programming for the purpose of doing these agent-based models. And I say I had no background in computer science. That's not entirely true. When I was in high school, I took a course on basic computer programming, which I thought I would never actually use, but the logic of programming is the mm-hmm. logic of programming. So it was really, really useful to be able to draw on that from way back when. And so I've been... So one aspect of what I do is to create network models using Python to try to understand how networks evolve and change, and what are some of the thresholds in terms of keeping networks together, what are some of the internal dynamics of those networks, which variables are more important than other variables. The way networks tend to be studied in public administration is qualitatively, which is wonderful. I mean, I'm not going to bash any kind of any approach to studying a problem, but there's a limit to what qualitative research can give you. It gives you a perspective on the network that allows you to create a theory that about how this network might work. But whenever you're doing any kind of observation or interview, you're somewhat limited to, you know, snapshots in time. And even if you follow a network over time, you can't follow every minute change that happens within a network. So we make some educated guesses about the network dynamics and how some of these variables might be related to one another, and which ones might be causal. And so what the network modeling allows me to do is really kind of test the internal validity of those theories. You know, if the world operates the way we think it does, and we program the network with these theories, with these rules that we have observed, do we get a network that looks like the one we would also see in the real world? And then it also allows us to then, like I said, test, you know, well, which variables seem to be more important, or which variables is the network most sensitive to?
And I mean, it seems like just getting out the rules and the assumptions, you're forced to get out the rules and the assumptions right. in a way that you might not have to if you were just writing it.
Right.
Free exactly. form.
Exactly. If you're just writing it free form and you skip a step in the logic, maybe a reviewer will call you on it, maybe not. But there's no way, the act of modeling itself really tells you when you've skipped a step, when there's something that's not, you know, does not compute, basically, or you end up in an infinite loop or something like that. So modeling these networks has really been useful in terms of identifying future research questions, which then I probably will go back and address qualitatively again and say, you know, kind of explore some underexplored concepts. So that's one way in which I think complexity theory has informed what it is that I do. But then there's also another project which I presented on this past week at COCO, and that is looking at the problems themselves. So the network research I'm doing is the networks that are trying to solve the complex problems, and the virtual communities project is trying to collect data on the complex problems themselves. And I'm really still kind of hoping somebody with better, with more experience with modeling comes forward and better math skills comes forward to help kind of try to struggle with some of those complex systems models of the problems.
Yeah. So I guess people probably don't know much, if anything, about the virtual Broome County communities. Virtual communities of Broome County project. Could you give a short overview?
Sure. So the virtual communities of Broome County project is to work with existing publicly available data. That can mostly census data that is collected at the census block group, so at a small neighborhood level, and then combine that with data that have not previously been publicly available from administrative agencies like the health department or the Department of Social Services or the police department, and so that we can create a database that a longitudinal database of indicators at the neighborhood level. And what we hope is that this database will make it available through a web portal. We hope that it helps inform decision making within the county. We hope that nonprofit agencies use it to whenever they're completing grant applications and they have to do needs assessments or evaluations. So a lot of the needed data will be on this site. But we also hope that we'll be able to use this data set to, like I said, understand these complex problems.
So that's a little bit about what you're involved with relating to complex systems. Could you give a little bit about what's going on in the overall field? Not overall field of complex systems, but overall field of public administration, social science, as it relates to complex systems.
Well, I mean, I can't really talk about social sciences in general.
Okay.
But in public administration, the idea is catching on. There is a small group of people who have been for several years now talking about complexity theory and complex adaptive systems. Public Administration Quarterly, which is a journal in my field, twice in the past 5 years has dedicated an issue to looking at complexity theory. We're starting to see a little bit more some of the terms appear in the literature, people being kind of aware of complexity theory, first of all. Network research has been around for a long time because networks have been around for a long time. But looking at the network from a complex adaptive systems perspective is still relatively new.
Mm-hmm. I was asking, one of the things was because, one of the reasons was because we had looked at some conferences and stuff, and I know not only is there kind of some journal dedications to this issue, but there's actually conferences that seem to be
right. There are conferences Computational Social Science Society, CSSS, which is has had two conferences, and they're multidisciplinary, they're interdisciplinary, they're not public administration per se,
okay.
But those people who are interested in complexity theory in the field of public administration, and particularly using agent-based modeling to understand complexity theory, because there's really since there are only a few people in the field who use complexity theory, it's kind of interesting that there's already two different groups. Mm-hmm. They're the people who model and the people who don't. Mm-hmm. And so the people who in public administration who are doing modeling, I've seen, but it really is still kind of a handful of people that we're talking about.
Would you recommend that undergrads who are interested in, you know, the public interest, take a programming course?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. I mean, like I said, for people who are getting an MPA degree, these are people who are going to be administrators. They are, our program here at Binghamton, focuses on local government and local nonprofits, so not state, not federal, not think tanks. And so we tend to train managers, leaders, future administrators. Our emphasis here is not super heavy quant research methods, modeling of any sort, because that's really not what administrators do a lot of. They have to have some basic quantitative skills, the ability to run some basic statistics, read the literature. But for the most part, you know, students who are getting their MPA, which tends to be a terminal degree, most people do not go on for their PhD, aren't going to need computer programming. Mm-hmm. If you've got students who are interested in getting a PhD in public administration, then I would say, yes, it was absolutely something that you should consider, mm-hmm. because I think there's just so many benefits and there aren't a lot of people really exploring this right now in the field.
So there's a lot of interdisciplinary work going on, as you've mentioned. From your experience, what have been some of the challenges and successes?
Well, the challenges are really just learning the language that people use. So a lot of these words, you know, so we talked about complexity, network. What is a network? The way the word network is used varies dramatically from discipline to discipline. You know, when we talk about, I have arguments with people in my own field. There is a very narrow definition within public administration of a network, of what a network is. You know, if you're taking a complexity theory perspective, a network really has a much broader definition. So partly, it's kind of just understanding how do we use these words differently, mm-hmm. in the different disciplines. And then also just approaches to, you know, and methods. You know, I did some work with Craig Laramie on bioengineering, and you know, it was what was really interesting is that in public administration and in the social sciences in general, I would say, you know, we're really taught from our very first research methods class that whenever you if you're doing deductive research, you come up with a model, you specify the variables, the form that you think it's going to take. You test the model, and either it works or it doesn't. And then you stop. You don't play around with it. You don't, you know, do a lot of data mining. Data mining, you know, is bad.
Right.
You know, data mining
would be like post-hocking.
Yes, yes. And what was interesting was, you know, just the approach was, you know, why don't you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you dig around in the data and look for the right functional form? And because it's just not, it's not publishable in my field then if you do right. that. You can't, or if you do it, you can't say that that's what you did.
Right.
And so even these kind of approaches to research are really different from discipline to discipline. You know, what are the standards that each discipline's held to in terms of publishing, or just what are the norms?
Mm. Great. And the next question I have is, how can students get involved? You already mentioned that you're looking for someone with math and those types of skills mm-hmm. to work on one of your projects, but in general.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, students who have the requisite kind of skills or interests should certainly, you know, kind of see me, and if they want to be a part, especially of the Virtual Communities Project. I think that there are lots of opportunities for people who want to study complex systems, actual complex systems, real-world complex systems. We'll have a ton of data when this is all said and done. And I really kind of feel my job is just to get the data and hope that other people will do something with it. And so I think for doctoral students, that should be quite enticing, because collecting data often takes a considerable amount of time. And if you have somebody who can do that for you, you know, what I'm really hoping that that will be the draw. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of if you build it, they will come.
Thank you, Pam, for coming on our radio show and podcast. See you next week.